turn to Psalm 34 this morning, and we're going to look at verse 3. I think it's important to look at the Psalms a lot because they can give us comfort, but they can also give us some insight into how we should look at God. I heard a story once on one Sunday after church. A mom asked her young daughter what the lesson was about. Her daughter answered, "Don't be scared. You'll get the quilt." Needless to say, the mother was pretty perplexed at what the daughter had said. So later in the day, the minister stopped by for tea, and the mother asked him what the morning Sunday school lesson was about. He said, "Be not afraid. Thy comforter is coming." So, if we read the first three verses of Psalm 34, we read, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name." So, like the other versions, they say, "Let us magnify His name." And really, that's what we need to do today, is we need to magnify God. Or actually allow God to really be as He is. And that is greater than the problem that we have in life. Now, we know we can magnify things with telescopes, binoculars, microscopes. We know that surgeons do keyhole surgery through little incisions with magnifying glasses to be able to suture back nerves and everything like that. Or we may look with a magnifying glass to expand some picture so that we can see it a little bit better. We've done that as children. The lens brings the object closer in our vision. It doesn't really make it larger. Everybody thinks, well, it makes it larger. What it does is, through the optics, it makes it closer to us. So we need to bring God down so that we can see Him as He actually is. We live a life in this world where everything is from far away. Not physically speaking, but God is somewhat far away from us. In our imagination, to be able to see Him, in our understanding, to be able to understand His power and what He does in our life. So, like the verse says, we need to make Him larger so we can see Him good. And not actually make him larger, but make Him as we should see Him. His real size, His real ability. Psalm 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Praise enlarges God. The Psalm tells us this. That when we praise God, we get to know Him better. We get to see Him as He actually is. We can magnify through a spiritual lens and bring Him closer to us so that we can see Him in relationship to the world around us. Many try to do it without exalting Him, without spending time in meditation, in prayer, and study, and they don't know just how big their God is, how great and mighty He is, because their focus is from far away. We have to see Him through that lens, that spiritual lens. So what does that mean? Well, in his book, William Hendricks, Revealing Stories, Why People Are Leaving the Church, he took a survey asking people why they no longer attended church. Surprisingly, the most common complaint was not the music or the facility or that the church was dull. The most common reason given for leaving the church was that the church did not provide them an opportunity to meet with God. For example, it was not worshipful enough. And you think, well, you have the songs, you have the worship, you have this and that. We went through the motions. Why didn't that satisfy? Because there was nothing there in the songs. There was no emotion in the songs from the people around them. They didn't get the feeling from other people that they wanted to be there, that they wanted to worship there. They didn't see the excitement in their eyes to be worshiping God. They didn't get that feeling there. So he wrote on, apparently it doesn't matter if the service is entertaining. When interaction with God is absent, eventually the church loses its appeal. See, people don't always connect with God without that in there. You know, some people say today, well, we don't need to meet in church. I'm a spiritual person. I just don't go to church or anything like that. And they're missing so much of what God offered to us. And God doesn't do it just to have us do things. He does it so that you and I can grow and learn in His kingdom, so that we can see Him as He actually is. You ever notice sometimes there's a person, maybe there's a group of people together, and you know, they're kind of talking a little bit, making small talk, and some person comes in and it seems like, you know, it brightens up the room. I know there are some people, they come into the room and it seems like it darkens, but some people come in and it seems to brighten up the room, and everyone's there, and you know, they'll come in and they'll start telling some funny stories and doing that, and next thing you know, everybody's telling funny stories and having a good time. Group activity is so important to what we have in the kingdom of God. Coming together and worshiping. And not just worshiping and going through the motions and checking off the list that I did this on Sunday and that's what I was supposed to do, like the young ruler who said, I followed the commandments, I did all this, I did it all perfect. But Jesus said He lacked one thing. He lacked that love. He lacked that love to give His possessions to those around Him. We learned that in our study of Luke this morning. We see others that don't really have a commitment to the church. They watch people squabble and fall out with each other in the church. They see people fill their lives with other things, but they don't have that commitment to God. You know, if God is small in our eyes, then nothing will happen. You know, maybe we see God as too small. He's not able to deal with our difficulties. Not able to save our families. Not able to do something in the community that needs desperately to be done. But God is much larger than that. He's larger than the largest problem that's out there. He's larger than the universe out there that we can only speculate on His size. That telescopes in space peer out and look and see distant works of art that He created, and they're not seen at all. God is larger than anything that could ever happen to you and me. Anything that could ever happen to this state, to our town, to our country, to our continent, and to this world out there. He's larger than all that. But we need to magnify Him in our lives so that we can see Him as He actually is. Men and women who have great faith in God, whom God has given strength, how enormous He is in their life. He consumes their life. In Him they trust. In Him they believe. And in Him they lead the steps of their life each and every day. They don't turn away from Him. You know, Numbers 13 and 14, we see the spies saw the enemies as too large, too great for them to conquer that land that God promised them. But Joshua and Caleb saw God as bigger than the enemy. They saw the miracles in the desert as they traveled around, and they saw what God could do. They remembered God delivered them from the Egyptians, and how without them, you know, laying one sword to the army, defeat them by God's hand. That's the difference between Jacob and Caleb and the other spies. Their view of God. They saw themselves as too small. But Joshua and Caleb saw their God as larger than the enemies. God was bigger than anything. In Numbers 14:24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. What Numbers 14:24 is telling us here is that God rewards faith. That God looks upon the faith of the people and proves them right in whatever they do. That's not to say we're not going to go through tough times, bad times. We all do. It's just the nature of things out there. that people suffer. There's a bookstore yesterday, and I keep seeing this book, and it says, God's Problem. How God Cannot Explain Why We Suffer. And to me, that should be the simplest question for any Christian to answer to anybody who asks that question as to why we suffer. And that is the separation in the Garden of Eden. If we look at God's Word and know God is perfect and just, that we live in a world where God cannot interact with us as they did in the Garden of Eden. He cannot be there to protect us and make it an idyllic place as it was for them. And so we live not only with our sins, but the consequences of those sins. And only through Jesus, only through that great sacrifice, can we have any kind of reconciliation with God. So we can come and pray to Him, that we can have a chance and a hope of heaven. But that comes after we live in this world of sin and death. So we need to magnify God in our eyes, that He's larger than the worst thing that people look out there and see. Their own demise, their own death, where so many shiver and shake because they don't know what's beyond that. Is that the end? Is that my totality there? Do I take my place with all those who have gone on before them, before me, and into the great nothingness? Or do I go on someplace else to God? Well, friends, our God is greater than that, larger than that. And death was defeated. Death that Satan brought into this world was defeated when Christ died and rose again on that cross. In a week, it's Easter, and we'll celebrate His resurrection. And we'll celebrate that time so many years ago when He defeated death on our behalf. That great love that brought Him down from the kingdom of heaven, from the place of the throne that He sat on with God His Father, to come down and save you and me. God is much larger than that, our greatest enemy. In 1 Samuel 17, when David went to the battlefield, the army was afraid. They saw Goliath as big and God as small. Oh, they were thinking of themselves, not of God. But David had faith in God that God would help him win the battle. However, David saw a big God, much larger than Goliath ever was. When people are against you, and people are going to be against you in this world, how do you see God? As not there, as absent, not near you? Or one who stands there with you, full size, for whatever you face in life? In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah saw what his servants did whenever the enemy surrounded them. Not only the army of the Lord, but God was magnified in the situation. He saw that God could do all things. And if God promises, He's going to do it. God promises us an eternal home with Him. And we need to take hold of that today. And we need to hold that near and dear to our hearts. And no matter what happens in this world, we know where we're going. We know what the end of the story is. There's no unknown. There's no not getting it. We know what the end is. When circumstances of a bad nature surround you and tend to push you down and crush you, magnify your Lord. Look at Him as the power that He is, the power that He has to save. As people, we never should outview our Lord. In other words, we should never see our problems as larger than He is. Many times, we see that. You know, there's a popular saying, and they did it a lot in the 50s with all the monster movies where they wanted to make monsters that look large, what they call forced perspective. I seen a commercial they did that, and like they showed a car and the people there, and you know, then they showed the perspective, and it was a little car, and they were kind of far away. You know, they look proportional at the time, talking about your dreams aren't that impossible or something like that. But anyway, we need to see God as He truly is, much larger than these problems. The problems are close and they look big. And God seems so far away. But just like that forced perspective, God is much larger than what we're seeing in front of us. We have to study the Scriptures. to learn God's perspective. We have to worship Him, to teach our minds, to praise God for what He does. We want to wear those spiritual glasses, those spiritual reading glasses, so to speak. I know most of us probably have to have some sort of aid to read nowadays. And just like that, we need to bring Him into focus and magnify Him so that we see Him just as He is. And look deeper. The fearful soul has a right view of God in many respects, but the faithful soul has a right view of God in all respects. It's one thing to live in abject fear of God and do the things that He tells us to do. Otherwise, He's going to slap us down with the cosmic fly swatter, and He's going to condemn us to a place of punishment. But the faithful soul not only respects and reveres God, that's the fear that we should have for Him, but loves God, knows that He can take care of us. We need to be focused on the Lord each and every day. He's greater than we are. So what can we as mere humans do? We can do nothing but magnify Him. We can't stop bad weather. We can't stop volcanoes. We can't stop earthquakes. We can't stop anything in this world on our own. The problems we have, sometimes there's nothing we can do about them except try. But the outcome is never certain. But the outcome is always certain with God if we'll trust Him. Now, Job had a conversation with God about life when God seemed small and far away from him. God wanted to know who it was that set the stars in place. Who told the sea to go thus far and no more? What was God doing with Job? He was saying, keep your focus on me. Whatever happens in this life, trust me that I know what I'm doing. Trust me that I will get you through this. Trust me that you are in a battle that is much larger than your life. You're in a battle with those who do not follow God, but will on the judgment day say, it was too hard, God. It was too much trouble. I just couldn't do it. And God will get the ruler out, His people, and compare them to that person and say, you don't measure up. You say it's too hard, these people did it all their lives. We're in something bigger than we could ever imagine. We're proving Satan wrong each and every day of our lives that we trust God. Every day that we live by faith with the uncertainty that this world has, and we don't fall away from God, we heap coals on His head and the head of all those angels that follow Him. And we condemn those who don't follow Him. Not that we do it verbally or wish it upon them. We certainly don't want to do that. We pray for their salvation. But we prove that God is right and that Satan was wrong. So look at Him through those spiritual glasses. So what do you see when you look at God? You see one that's mighty, larger than everything that could come against you? One ready to deliver you from every situation you find yourself in? God will get you through what you're going through. It may get you to heaven, but He's going to get you through it. The one who created all things and holds all things in His hand. There's a commercial by Allstate right now and talks about the uncertainty of life. They kind of go back to FDR in those dark days of World War II and talking about all we have to fear is fear alone. You know, the guy says, the spokesman says, you know, put yourself in good hands for these terrible times. And I think, you know, of course, like the song, he's got the whole world in his hands, another popular thing. But I think about that. Put yourself in good hands. Hands that are larger than this whole universe that can deal with any problem we have in our lives. If we'll magnify God, not to make Him falsely look big, but to see Him as He actually is from far away, then we're going to see someone much larger than anything we could ever imagine. Or, like some people out there? Do we see God as one who's too small and can't possibly deal with our circumstances? A God who isn't interested in you as a person. You know, some people believe God created all this and went on and he's doing something else. He doesn't care about it. He doesn't want to have anything to do with it. It just goes on. Or there's one more vision I want to bring before we close here. Those with no vision, no focus, and especially who never magnify the Lord. The blind not only can't see God, they cannot experience His presence, and they certainly cannot magnify Him. They don't focus on the cross and the reason behind it. They have veiled eyes which cannot see the truth. So are we magnifying our Lord this morning? Are we making Him full size? Do we look through the telescope like us looking at a planet or a star to see it closer to what it really is? Do we see God that large, or do we see our problems overwhelming Him or Him not caring about our problems? Friends, this morning before we close, God cares about our problems. I know it seems bleak sometimes. I know it seems kind of hard, especially whenever you're going through an illness that you're fighting to maybe keep your life, that you may be fighting to try to keep health or anything like that, or you go have a loved one who's going through that. The toughest times. But again, in the end, if we follow God, we'll be relieved of this earthly pain to walk with Him forever and ever. Whatever problems we have, He's larger than that. Whatever things come against us, He's larger than that. And He does care, and He does love us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this book here. Otherwise, we wouldn't have Jesus come down to walk among us as a man. And not only a man, a poor man, with no place to lay his head, with no place to call his own, to walk, to care enough about us to want to save us from ourselves, to save us from the sin that enters our lives, to save us from our failings, to save us from our lack of faith, to save us from all our failings. And yet He still looks at us with love and receives us if we'll follow Him. Friends, God is larger than anything there is out there. There's nothing you can point to, nothing you can show me that's larger than God. Larger than all our problems and anything that'll come against us. I don't know what your condition is this morning or what your need may be, but once you come, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.